Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Our text is verse 5. Speaking of the Lord and his benefits, we read, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 103 is, we would almost say, a spontaneous eruption of praise to God. The psalmist, who has been thinking about the benefits of God to him, bursts forth in the doxology, the song of praise to God, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And that eruption of praise continues throughout the psalm, so that in verse 2, the psalmist continues, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And after going through all of the benefits that the Lord gives to his people at the end of the psalm, the psalmist erupts into praise again, this time in verse 20, calling the angels that excel in strength to bless the Lord with him. And in verse 21, all the hosts of God, all the angelic creatures of God. Verse 22, all the works of God in all his dominion, whatever God has created, let them bless the Lord too. And then ends again with that call to his own soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Psalm 103 is an eruption of praise to Jehovah. We would say it's an almost spontaneous eruption as the psalmist considers what God has done for him. And that makes this psalm a fitting psalm for the praise that the church gives to God after we partake of the Lord's Supper. We recognize much of the language of Psalm 103 from that time of praise after we've finished partaking from the Lord's Supper form itself, which quotes several of the verses of this psalm, as we all say together in our hearts, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And as we come together for the Lord's Supper then this morning, it's good for us to meditate for a little while on one of the reasons that we bless the Lord, the reason that He fills our mouths and satisfies our mouths with good things for us so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103 is an eruption of praise. Psalm 103 is also a very personal song and doxology of praise to Jehovah. Oh yes, we call the angels to bless the Lord. Oh yes, we call all His works and all His dominion to bless the Lord. But the psalm begins and ends with a call to our own soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. The Church of Jesus Christ and the child of God who comes to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to be filled with the body and blood of the Lord at the table of the Lord, feels that very personal desire to worship Jehovah, for He has come to me and filled my mouth with good things and renewed my youth like the eagles, the Church of Jesus Christ says, so that each of us before our God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And so we come together to church this morning with an eruption of praise in order to glorify our God for these good things that He has prepared for us and these good things with which He satisfies our mouths. The theme of the sermon then this morning is, Thy Mouth Satisfied with Good. In the first place, we consider the meaning. In the second place, we consider the result. And in the third place, we consider the response. Thy mouth satisfied with good. The meaning, the result, and the response. One of the benefits that David lists here in Psalm 103, one of the benefits of God is that He satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What does it mean then that our mouth is satisfied with good? And let's focus in on that word satisfied first of all. To be satisfied means to be filled up. To be satisfied means to be satiated and sated so that there is no more emptiness or no more want. The idea of being satisfied is that you come and are filled so that you do not leave empty or you do not leave unsatisfied. God satisfies us. We could illustrate it, and all illustrations are weak, but we could illustrate it this way, that if mom has prepared a big Sunday dinner, then we come to the dinner table Sunday afternoon, we sit down, we eat together the good things that are provided there, and we are satisfied. We don't leave the dinner table hungry and empty and unsatisfied, but filled. That's the idea of satisfaction, filled up. But then, secondly, with regard to that word satisfied, it means also to be nourished by the good things. It's possible to be filled up with bad things, with things that do not nourish. Somebody could sit down at the dinner table and instead of eating the good food that mom has prepared, take out a bag of potato chips and eat the whole bag of potato chips, and that member of the family would be full but not nourished. The idea of satisfaction is to be nourished and strengthened by the good things that have been eaten. And that's evident from the words that David uses here. He satisfieth thy soul, thy mouth rather, with good things. These are nourishing things that build up the child of God. So that's the idea of satisfied. He satisfies us by filling us, but satisfies us by nourishing us with good things. And then let's take a look at that word mouth. He satisfieth thy mouth with good. And the idea here is that being satisfied and nourished and filled by God is pleasant for the child of God. This is not a hard thing. This is not an unpleasant or distasteful thing, but a pleasant thing. The psalmist could have said, He satisfieth thy belly with good things. And that would have conveyed the idea of being filled up and nourished in our bellies. But he says, he satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He calls attention to the pleasant taste and texture of the good that the Lord gives us, the taste and the texture that is experienced by our mouth. The idea here is that when the Lord satisfies us, it's a pleasant thing for us. It's a good thing for us, something that we look forward to. And we can use again that illustration of the Sunday dinner when mom makes the favorite Sunday dinner of the family, whatever that favorite may be, and all the children sit down and look forward to that meal, and dad and mom do too. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. That's the picture, that's the illustration, that's the figure language that David is using here to describe a spiritual reality. And the spiritual reality of thy mouth being satisfied with good things is that God fills our souls with spiritual good that nourishes us and fills us up and is pleasant for us to receive. David is not here talking about God in his providential care providing for our earthly needs. David is not talking about the Sunday dinner on the table. Now, it is true that God does providentially care for us and provide our earthly needs. The Sunday dinner on the table this afternoon comes from God so that we give Him thanks for it and rely upon Him for our daily bread. It is true that God providentially cares for and provides for us. But what David is talking about here is a spiritual reality. He's talking about the mouth of the soul that is satisfied with good. And that's evident from the context here in Psalm 103. David is speaking of spiritual benefits that the Lord gives to us. That is introduced in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And now verses 3 through 5 and even beyond that are going to be a list of these benefits. What are these benefits? Well, the very first one in verse 3 is, He forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's a spiritual blessing that Jehovah gives. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, verse 4. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Those are all spiritual benefits. And David adds in his description of these spiritual benefits some physical pictures. Verse 3, for example, who healeth all thy diseases. And the idea isn't there, first of all, that He heals us of the cold or that He heals us of the cancer, but the idea is that He heals all of our spiritual diseases, all of our grief of guilt, all of the burden of our soul that we have as we come to the Lord. He heals all these diseases spiritually. And so when we come to verse 5 and read of God satisfying our mouth with good things, we know that He's still listing these benefits, these spiritual benefits of salvation that Jehovah gives to us. Satisfying our mouth with good things is a description then of the spiritual satisfaction that God gives to our souls and to the mouth of our souls. Well, then we need to look at that word good to know what is this good with which the Lord satisfies the mouth of our souls. What are the good things that are pleasant for us and that nourish us and fill us up? Well, as soon as we take that word good, then we remember that the Bible says in many places that God is good and that only God is good. We think, for example, of Psalm 100, the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good. When David says that God satisfies our mouth with good, the very first thing to think of is God. He satisfies the mouth of our souls with God, with the goodness that God is. He satisfies our mouth by giving to us God Himself. And that's part of the beautiful, blessed testimony of the Lord's Supper that we come to this morning. Because here at the table of our Lord, we have communion and fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him with Jehovah God Himself. That's one of the aspects of the Lord's Supper that perhaps we're tempted to overlook. We think of the bread and the broken bread, symbolizing the broken body of Jesus on the cross. We think of the wine and the poured out wine, symbolizing the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Those are definitely prominent symbols. But there's also this symbol of the table. And even though it doesn't work practically for all of us to come and sit around this little table to partake, that's the idea, that we all come and around the table where there's fellowship and family gathering, we gather with God through Jesus Christ and have fellowship with Him. And that satisfies our souls. It is good to be with God. It is good to be with His people, with Him in His house and around His table. That's pleasant for us and that nourishes us. And to see just how pleasant that is and how nourishing that is, remember what we deserve because of our sins and because of our sinfulness. What we deserve is that we be thrust away from God, cast away from Him with no access to His presence, no access to His fellowship. We deserve the angry face of God. We deserve the curse of God to be spoken against us that casts us out, so that by nature all of us ought to be the ones who cry, "Why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou cast me off?" That's what we deserve, but that's not what God gives. He called us to His house this morning. He prepared this meal for us of the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us a table to sit at that is fellowship and communion with Him in the warm covenant fellowship of our God. That's pleasant. That's good for the soul of the child of God. It nourishes us and fills us right up with hope and with joy. That's the good that the Lord fills us with, God Himself. But now we can start expanding that and being specific with all of the good things that we have, the spiritually good things that we have from God. We could even think of that along Trinitarian lines as one commentator on this passage does. What about the good that we receive from God the Father, the first person of the Trinity? And now we do this not to divide the Trinity and put the three persons apart as if only God the Father gives us one thing and only God the Son gives us another. These are all blessings from the triune God. But we can consider them according to their operations as the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us to think of them. What about the good we receive from God the Father? Well, we receive the mercy and the love of a Father as we sing in Psalm 103. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. The Lord is our God is a God of mercy. And as our triune heavenly Father, He showers upon us His mercy and His love through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know that mercy, we know that grace as we assemble in His house today. God has called us together to speak to us and to tell us of His love, which is what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the preaching of the word. It's the declaration of Jehovah to His people, "I love you. I love you in Jesus Christ. And I give to you all things in Him." And we need that mercy because we are dust. And that shows us how pleasant it is to receive this good of the mercy of God from Him. We're dust. We're creatures who are made of the dust and in a moment return to the dust. And yet God, who is not of the dust, but who Himself has created the dust, this God comes near to us creatures of the dust and draws us into His own family. That's mercy. That's compassion. That's love. And then to add to the depth of that love and the height of that love, He draws near not only to creatures who are dust, but those who are sinners and who have, by our own rebellion in Adam, forsaken Him and deserve to die. And yet God comes to us, creatures of the dust who are sinful, and showers upon us His mercy and His love. That's the good thing that we receive from God, that good thing that's testified in the gospel and in the supper of our Lord. So great is my love that I have given my only begotten Son to the death of the cross for your salvation. That is the good thing that comes to us from God the Son, the second person of the Trinity who has come in our flesh and has suffered and died in our flesh and risen again in our flesh and ascended in our flesh and sits at the right hand of God in our flesh. The redemption that we have from all our sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a good thing that we needed. We were enslaved to sin by nature, so that the only future we could expect is a future of condemnation under the just judgment of God. But our Lord Jesus Christ, being sent by God in His love, has redeemed us from all our sins, from our bondage. And then we can think of the good things that we receive from God the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus Christ and dwells in our hearts and who sanctifies our hearts. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ works in us a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. The Spirit of Jesus Christ unites us to our Lord by faith, giving us that gift of faith. This Holy Spirit sanctifies our thoughts and our mind and our will so that we desire to serve the Lord and have a small beginning of that new obedience according to the law of God. That's a good thing that the Holy Spirit gives to us, His people. And to see what we were without that Spirit, to see that by nature we are only dead and have only the old man of sin and no new man at all, and therefore no love of God at all, shows us the magnitude and the goodness of this gift that we receive from the Spirit. Oh yes, as we come to the table of the Lord and come to His house, God satisfies the mouth of our souls with good things. But now note that all of this good is mediated through Jesus Christ. All of the good things of salvation are given us in Christ, so that without Christ, none of the good things of salvation are given. We call this idea the idea of mediation, which is why we call our Savior the Mediator. The idea of the Mediator is not only this, that a mediator goes between. There's truth to that idea of the Mediator. He goes between us and God. He reconciles us to God. But the idea of the mediator is that we receive everything through him and through him alone, so that without him there is no good thing for us. Only in Christ are there good things. Now that truth is evident in the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is not just a list of good things that God gives, but it's the good news that we have these things in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus Christ, and in him all the blessings of salvation. But that truth that all these gifts are mediated through Jesus Christ is evident from the Lord's Supper as well. What do we do with this Lord's Supper? Break a piece of bread, pour out a cup of wine, and then leave it sit on the table? We take and we eat and we drink. We partake of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because life is in him, not in these elements. Life is not in the physical bread. Life is not in the physical wine. It's all in Jesus Christ. And this sacrament is a picture that we receive Jesus Christ spiritually. That's marvelous, because all these blessings of salvation from Jehovah God himself, going through Jesus Christ to us, means that this place of a mediator is a place of great honor and great glory. There's only one in all of the world through whom we can receive salvation and from whom we can receive salvation. And it's our Lord. It's Jesus Christ. That's a place of honor for him, and he's worthy of that honor. And that also shows then that all who are outside of Jesus Christ do not have these good things for their souls. They come through Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He's the mediator, and they're mediated by God through him. And so we receive all these good things through faith. Through faith. Because faith is that bond created by the Spirit in our hearts that unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is that bond, or that graft, to use a biblical figure, through which all of the good that God gives us in Christ flows to us and into our hearts. Through faith, we have Jesus Christ. Through faith, we receive these good things. And that too is evident in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We partake of the bread and wine with our physical mouths, but as the Belgic Confession says, we partake of the reality, Jesus Christ in heaven, by the hand and mouth of our soul. And that hand and mouth of our soul is faith, as the Belgian Confession identifies it. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have all of these blessings of salvation, freely given him by grace alone, so that we come to the house of the Lord and receive from him by faith in Christ. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. The result is that our youth is renewed like the eagles. All the way back to the time of Augustine, there have been competing explanations of what it means that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And there have been some pretty fantastical explanations given. One explanation has been this, from many, many centuries ago, an explanation that's not correct, an explanation that the eagle's beak, the top part of his beak, keeps growing and growing and curves under, and would stop him from being able to eat So he has to go to a rock and scrape and beat his beak against a rock to prevent it from growing too far. And then he can eat again. Well, that's not the idea of our youth being renewed like the eagles. The Roman Catholic Church during the Middle Ages and leading up to the Reformation gave the explanation that every 10 years eagles fly up towards the sun until their feathers burn off, and then they plummet into the sea where they can be reborn. Well, that's not at all the explanation of youth being renewed like the eagles, and Calvin goes after the Roman Catholic Church for that explanation. There have been all kinds of explanations throughout the years of what this means, but what seems to be the best explanation is this, that an eagle periodically will molt its feathers and receive new plumage. The eagle, after molting its feathers, shows those new sleek feathers again. And during the time when a mature eagle is molting, it looks kind of rough. It looks unkempt as all of those old feathers are falling out and sticking out at funny angles to the body of the bird. But when the eagle is finished molting each year, what is left are those new, sleek, beautiful feathers again, so that the eagle looks young and strong again. A week ago when it was molting, it looked old and unkempt, but now finished molting, its youth looks renewed. That seems to be the idea here, that every year an eagle goes through this process of molting, so that each year the eagle's strength is renewed, it seems, and his youth is returned to him. Now that's the physical picture of the spiritual reality that the Lord comes to us in those times when we are weary, when we feel the burdens of this life. He comes to us in those times with his good things and fills our mouth with them and satisfies our mouth with them, so that our strength, our spiritual strength, which is a characteristic of the youth, is renewed like the eagles. And we who are unkempt and who were weary have strength again to go forth. That doesn't mean that the Lord renews physical strength, although he may renew that too. But the idea is our spiritual strength. He's talking about the soul and those heavy weights, or we might say those heavy stones that we carry around in our soul. There's a stone of worry that can be very heavy that we carry around with us sometimes, that stone of worry about a family member, that stone of worry about what's going to happen with our job, that stone of worry about what's going to happen with the church. Worry that's heavy like a smooth boulder from the bottom of a river that we carry around in our soul, so that it robs our sleep and robs our appetite. Or there's the stone of grief that's heavy. The stone of grief of losing a loved one, either to death, which brings grief, or to apostasy, which brings heavy grief. We carry around this stone of grief and don't know where to put it down. It wears on us and weighs on us. And then there's that stone of guilt, that heavy, heavy stone, that weight and burden of our iniquities. So that when the law says, thou shalt not, that stone becomes heavier because we have. And when the law says, thou shalt, that stone becomes heavier because we have not. That stone of guilt. All these weights that we carry around with us in our lives. And the Lord comes to us and satisfies our mouth with good things. The good things of his gospel, the good things of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in Him, of the mercy and care of our Father, so that He takes that stone of guilt and throws it away because He laid that stone of guilt on the Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself was perfect and innocent, but who went to the cross for our salvation. Jehovah God, with His everlasting arms, comes to us with that stone of grief and carries it and bears it. And with that stone of worry, He comes to us with the promise, I am your God and I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that the burden of all of these things is lifted, relieved, and we and our souls who carried around those burdens have our strength renewed and are sleek and beautiful again, so to speak, in our souls by the mercy of Jehovah. The result of our mouth being filled with good things, these good things here at the table of our Lord, which is His body and blood from heaven, renews our youth like the eagles. And the response then of the child of God who receives these good things and has his youth renewed like the eagles, the response is to erupt in praise spontaneously, we might almost say, as the child of God counts these benefits and sees the good things that the Lord has given to us and the burdens that He's borne for us. The child of God erupts in praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And Jehovah God is worthy of that eruption of praise. Bless the Lord is correct, because all of this good has come from Him. All of it has been mediated through the Lord Jesus Christ by Him. And all of the praise then must return unto Him. And that's what we're about this morning. That's the business we're about this morning. As we come to the table of the Lord, we receive from Him the good things of salvation through Jesus Christ by faith. And having been filled at His table, we praise Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts that we may be nourished and fed, and now feed us at the table of our Lord with this heavenly meat and drink, that is, with our Savior Himself, as we by faith partake of His body and blood. Forgive our sins, hear our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen.